It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's a great day anytime we're here live at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It is a great, great day. It's all leading up to tonight's action here at Knoxville Raceway. 360 Nationals start tonight. Can't wait for that to get underway. We're going to talk about a lot. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Scotty Cook is going to join us here in just a little bit. So we'll be talking to him. If he gets out of bed and makes it here on time, you know, Scotty Cook. I don't know if anybody knows this about Scotty Cook. Austin, I don't know if you know this about Scotty. But Scotty Cook doesn't go to bed till about 5:30 in the morning. Did you know that?
I do know that. I remember when Scotty came over and was our first, you know, live, you know, in-studio guest. And, you know, he wasn't. I remember him telling a story about him not going to bed till 5-6 o'clock, and then, you know, sleeping all day. And then I remember when we were getting ready to go live on the show, is probably within a minute of getting ready to send the streams up, that Scotty wasn't found. You couldn't find Scotty anywhere, and he was outside having a drink. So yeah, he's a late riser, all nighter, and last minute.
Yeah, well, let me just tell you something. It's kind of frustrating when you traveled with a guy like Scotty Cook all these years. When you travel around the road, you know, he stays up. You're sleeping in the same hotel room with him, right? And all night long, he goes in and out the door so he could go downstairs and stand out in front, smoke a cigarette, look at his phone, and do his messages or whatever he does when he does that. And all night long, the door opens, and you know motel room doors, right? They're heavy, and they make a lot of noise when they close. And if you're the roommate with Scotty Cook, that's not a good thing when you're trying to get to sleep, when you got to get up early in the morning and drive 1,000 miles the next day. It's never really that good of a deal. Have you ever dealt with anybody like that before, Austin, that stays up all night? Do you know anybody like that?
No, not off the top of my head, not that I know of. I just wish that Scotty Cook was a mechanic and was a crew member on a sprint car team, maybe mine, with that, you know, maybe sleep schedule and you know, I guess you could say work ethic too. I mean, Scotty's up all night and it's, I guess he's wouldn't be afraid to do the work that, you know, you need to do on a sprint car team to get turned around for the next night. But yeah, maybe Scotty should. You know, if he didn't go down the media path, maybe he should have went down the path of being a crew member. I think he'd fit in, you know, pretty well.
Well, let me just tell you, you don't want Scotty Cook to be a crew member on your team because nothing would get done.
Well, that's probably true.
I'm just telling you, he doesn't get up until about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or maybe 3. And then he stays up all night. You got to always poke on Scotty to get him to do something, right? Hey, Scotty, I need you to do this. Oh, I forgot. I need to do that, right? You don't want a guy like Scotty Cook being a crew member on your car, because if he was in charge of maintenance, no maintenance would get done.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't want him for that reason. The only reason I would want Scotty is Scotty's not afraid to stay up till the sun comes up.
Right.
So that's sometimes what you need to do when you're running a sprint week or a speed week deal. It's just get done racing at midnight, car wash till about 1:30. If you're not having to drive anywhere to go find a car wash, and then you're spending, you know, 2 hours maybe doing some maintenance if you've got, you know, limited crew members. Maybe it's a little shorter if you have an abundance of them. But yeah, that's the only reason I would want Scotty Cook on a team. But for all the other reasons that you said, I do not a good fit. Not a good fit at all.
Listen, take the advice from somebody that traveled with Scotty Cook for 11 or 12 years on the road. I'm just saying. Being up late, that's good. But getting the work out of him, not so good. All right. Hey, let's talk a little bit about last night. Dominic Gordon picked up the win with the Stoops Pursuit last night at the BC 39. What'd you think about that?
I'm really surprised they got the night in. They had a big, you know, big rain shower rolling right after, you know, a handful of the first heat races, and you know, kind of put the night in jeopardy of being finished, and they got it in. And, you know, the track wasn't that great in the feature. You know, it was kind of one laner on the bottom. You know, some guys tried to make the top work, but it was just so dirty because everybody was on the bottom that it just made the top two dirty, and it just wasn't slick enough to make it fast. The dirty stuff was there, but it really wasn't working, and it was just track position, really. And we saw that with kind of how the pursuit race, you know, went on, and the guys that, you know, were up front stayed up front, and the guys that were in the back stayed back there, and it wasn't, you know, it didn't really, you know, produce the good of his race as we saw, you know, years past. We always remember the race between Pickens, Grant, and Larson when they all three crashed in turn three on the last lap, and Larson won it. But, you know, those races are kind of, you know, once in a while races. But, you know, overall for the night, it wasn't great. But, you know, we got the races in, and we're going to race tonight, too.
You know who impressed me more than anybody running the top last night? Jade Avedisian. She was ripping the top up there in that 84 car. She was really trying to make it work. She was working at it harder than anybody else that I thought. From the people that I watched, it seemed like she was really trying to make that work. Did you see her getting up there at the top trying to make it work?
Yeah, she did it after Buddy did it. Buddy did it for a lap or two, maybe three laps, and just really couldn't make anything of it, and was forced to get down back in line and not lose any positions, which unfortunately Buddy did, and which eliminated him from the pursuit race. And same thing to Jade. She just... if you sit there and follow somebody, you're not going to do anything to better your race. You know, you got to get a line and try and just find something else to make a run at it. And she tried, and then it wasn't there. And she was smart enough to know that it's not working, and got back down and just tried to race around them if they made a mistake on the bottom. And, you know, those guys are so good, you don't see that very often. And, you know, we saw it kind of early on in the race where guys would get too low getting into one, or actually... It's messing me up because the stands are on the back stretch, so it's where the cameras are. So you think one is three.
Odd.
It's actually turned three. Guys were getting the left front down and the kind of the grease, and it was making them really tight across the track and you know, kind of shove the nose. And we saw that early on, and then once guys figured out that's not the thing to do, they cleaned up their driving, and you know, it made it really hard to get by anybody.
Yeah. Do you know anything about this Dominic Gordon, the kid that won the pursuit last night? Do you know anything about him?
All I know about him, he's from California. I'm assuming he's kind of a micro kid. You know, I've seen his name at the Tulsa Shootout for probably a year or two now. And he was, you know, he's a fairly decent racer. You know, and I've seen he got into a ride with Keith Koontz and ran, you know, the Chili Bowl last year, and then ran, you know, throughout this year with Power Eye and USAC. And from what I've seen, he's had, you know, really good runs. I believe last year he ran for Chad Boat for a little bit. I remember him, Mickey made his debut in a midget at Port City last year, where I think he flipped in hot laps. That's kind of what I remember him as. But besides that, no, I don't have a whole lot of information about him. Kind of is snuck on the scene here on us.
Yeah, kind of snuck up on us there a little bit. You know, I was a little bit caught off guard that he won that race because he beat Zach Dom. And I got to give a little bit of a shout out to Trey Gropp as well, because he had a good finish last night. He finished on the podium last night. What did you think of Trey Gropp's performance last night?
I thought it was pretty good. You know, he doesn't get to run a whole lot of midget races anymore. You know, he had a full-time deal with Mount Stout going, and that, you know, kind of went a different direction. And now he's... You know, he's kind of doing some special events with Dave McDalby, and when, you know, whenever he races, he's a contender. It's not very often though, but you know, to come to the speedway and have a good run like that's, you know, as a huge confidence booster, and you know, I think, you know, it shows that, you know, he has the talent to do it, and just you know, maybe needs to get some more laps under his belt and maybe try and find a, you know, full time ride.
Yeah, he's always showed the talent.
Yeah,
when he drove for the family, we really saw the talent back in those days. But right now, you're saying that he's not driving for the family anymore, right? Correct?
So he drove for his family. They owned, Wing Sprint Cars, probably 3 or 4 years ago. Ran 305s, in Nebraska, and ran a little bit of the Nebraska 360 series. And then they purchased a ride with Mount Stout down in Oklahoma, and they went full-time midget racing. And that lasted probably two and a half years, I believe. And that just kind of went a different direction. And now he's just, kind of doing his own thing in Oklahoma, and looks like he has a ride with Dave McDelby.
Was that move to Oklahoma, do you think that was a good move for him, moving down there, getting around more people that run sprint cars a little bit more, midgets a little bit more? Do you think the Oklahoma was a good move for him?
Oklahoma move was just to be closer to the team overall, and be part of the team on a day-to-day basis. And I think it opened up a couple doors for him. I think if he didn't do that, he might not have not been the Dave Mack ride right now. With that being an Oklahoma-based team too. So, I think it definitely helped him. There's quite a few, midget teams and some sprint car teams down there. Not as popular as Indiana is, but still a hotbed. Right. So, I definitely think that it was, better than being in Nebraska. Well, there really isn't a whole lot.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, he outran some pretty good cars last night. Right behind him was Cannon McIntosh. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. ran sixth last night. C.J. Leary was behind him. Jerry Coons Jr., Brady Bacon, Jay Davidesian. He outran some pretty good cars last night.
Yeah, anything he's driven was really, he's shown really well. And so, yeah, I think maybe he might be a contender tonight if he can get, qualified in and start in the first couple rows.
Right. Who do you think is the favorite going into tonight's race? Out of all the drivers that you, if you were to pick one guy that you think is going to be more dominant than others, who would it be?
Oh, that's a tough.
That's
tough
a
question.
Tough question. I know it, man. It is, but you know what? For me personally, I've got to go with Brady Bacon. Brady Bacon ran ninth last night. I know he didn't storm up through the field, but anytime Brady Bacon, he's a past winner of this deal, right? You can't count that guy out ever, never. He's always so steady, and he's always so good. Now that 21 car that he's driving, right? Is it a 21K car?
21H. That's the Hink car.
So that car's not very old. I think that was a brand new car at the Chili Bowl, wasn't it? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that car isn't raced too often. I'm not sure the exact age on it. I'm not sure if he buys a new one every year. But from when I first saw it, it's probably a year or 2 years old, maybe now. Mm-hmm. And they only run it at select events. It's not a full time car, so I'm gonna assume if it's the same car from day one, it probably has 12 races on it, if that. Mm-hmm. 10?
Yeah. Well, listen, it's hard to pick against some of the other guys, like Mitchell Moles. He's the current point leader right now. Him and Chris Windham are tied with 160 points. Cannon McIntosh has got 153 points. Zach Dom's 150 points. Justin Grant, 148. Trey Grupp and Thomas Meserol are tied with 143 points. Kyle Larson is, I believe he is eighth, and he's got 141 points. So kind of go through the process of who you would pick out to be your favorite guy tonight.
Yeah, I think you can't pick against Cannon McIntosh right now. He's just dominated the power I've seen here probably the last, I think pretty much through the summer months. And he picked up a handful of wins, went on a pretty much a hot streak through Missouri when they came through Valley and Sweet Springs. And he's been really fast, and he has been really fast with USAC too. I believe he led quite a few laps and was a contender up at Houston about 2 months ago, or about a month ago now. And then he's just been really consistent and really fast, and has shown great improvement from years past. So I definitely think that he's a good contender. He's sitting third with, with overall points, so it's gonna be hard to bet against him. I think you have to look at Justin Grant too, who's fifth. Grant's been pretty fast in the midget all year long, and and has been a potential contender for a Triple Crown again this year.
It looks like Scotty Cook has made it to the Hall of Fame, so we'll be talking to him here in just a little bit. Wasn't so sure he was going to make it, but he has rolled his bald head into the Hall of Fame. I watched you walk up the steps, bud. So we'll be visiting with Scotty here in just a little bit. He's going to be doing a show live from the Dingus, and we're going to be talking in length about that today, about what he's going to be doing over there at the Dingus. You never know what could happen over there. Maybe a brew top might happen on the air. You never know. It could happen. Doug Clark's going to have a Miller Lite in his hand. He won't be drinking. Okay. All right. So it's going to be fun. We'll have Scotty Cook here in a minute on the show, but let's step into a little bit of what's going to happen tonight, Austin. Your boy that you've helped before, you've done some tires work for him, went with your motor being blown up. Ayrton Jettison is going to be going tonight. The Gravois Mills driver will be going tonight as well. There's a lot of fast guys. I got the hiccups right now. Aaron Reitzel's going to be going tonight. Chase Randall's going to be going tonight. Sam Hayfertig is going to be running tonight. The Sunnyvale, Texas driver is going to be running also. Thomas Kennedy, he's a pretty good shoe in himself. If I look down here, Zeb Weiss is going to run tonight. Scott Boguski, Skylar Prokraska is going to be running as well. Prohaska. Scotty always whips me when I mispronounce people's names. Anyway, and Justin Henderson, Austin McCarl is going to be running tonight. Matt Covington's going to be running tonight. Do you got one guy that kind of stands out? Parker Price Miller is going to be running also tonight. Corey Day, another standout driver from the West Coast, is going to be out here. Who do you think is got the biggest chance of winning tonight, Austin?
Anthony Macri
is running tonight as well.
I got about 11 drivers highlighted here on my list that could possibly pick up a win tonight.
Yeah.
I can go through the 11 or tell you who I think might have a possibility of one driver.
Give me your 11.
Okay.
And then we'll take it from there.
All right. So I got Ayrton Jettison, Aaron Reitzel, Chase Randall, Ryan Giles, Parker Price Miller, Sam Hayfertig, Shane Golubic, Gio Selzy, Anthony Macri, Garrett Williamson, Corey Eliason, Justin Henderson, and Austin McCarl.
So of those 11 that you have written down on your list, who's your favorite?
I think you got to say I'm stuck between two. I'm stuck between Aaron Reitzel and Gio Selzy. You know, I think, you know, Aaron's definitely shown a lot of speed this year with his 360 program.
No doubt.
It's just Aaron's luck recently is, you know, Aaron can be really fast and then one lap later have it hung up in the fence. So, yeah. You know, you never know what you're going to get with him tonight. I mean, I think he could put a night together and be a contender. And, you know, Gio is, you know, won the race last year. Him and Pittman had a heck of a race. And I think, you know, Pittman really should have won it. But, you know, lap traffic kind of fell in the way of Gio. And Gio's had speed all year long in the 14 class up there. And I think, you know, that can kind of roll back over to the 360 and pick up where he left off last year.
Yeah, I think those are solid picks, Reitzel and Selzy. But, you know, it's hard for me to pick against Parker Price Miller. He has been on such a roll lately. I think that he's going to be one of the guys that you're going to have to take a look at. And Anthony Macri, though he didn't show a lot of speed the last time, what did he run, 13th in the B last week, I think it was?
Right.
Yeah. And Buddy Kofoit run 8th in the B. Neither one of those drivers made the A main last week. But I've got to feel like Sam Hayfertig. He's a 5-time Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour champion. He understands these 360s as well as anybody. And I got to believe that Gio Selzy and Aaron Reitzel are going to have their hands full with Sam Haferty. What do you think?
I think they could, too. It took Sam a long time to finally get a win in Knoxville.
Yeah.
You know, I think he picked up a prelim night last year. Correct me if I'm wrong. But, you know, he's only won two races up there. So, you know, I think he could definitely pull it off tonight. But he just really hasn't had a ton of speed in the past. And, you know, he's ran 360s for a long time. He knows what they're about. And I think, you know, if everything falls the right way tonight, maybe, you know, with running the 410, you know, this year maybe can help their 360 package. But the biggest thing is you just got to get qualified in and get through your heat race and your night.
Yeah. There's some other guys that are a possible winners tonight. Listen, Matt Covington showed a lot of speed the other night. I'm not sure how good he's going to get around here at Knoxville, but he did show a lot of speed at Lakeside on Tuesday night, man. He seemed like he was the dominant car. I think he just kind of fell asleep a little bit leading that race the other night, don't you?
Yeah, he just made a small mistake that cost him, you know, a win. You know, it's just he bailed off his line and then followed the lap car. I'm really not sure, you know, what caused that, or if I don't know. It's just kind of one of those moments you're like, all right, I don't know how he messed that up, but you know, it happened, and you move on, and you go to the next race. But you know, Covington went up there to Knoxville probably 2-3 weeks ago, I think. You know, when the national tour was off, and it had a top five finish. So, you know, he might be a sleeper on us. You know, Matt's, you know, had, you know, a good pass with Knoxville, but also hasn't had a ton of speed and luck. So, you know, maybe this might be the year he becomes a sleeper on us and might surprise us.
Yeah. Do you think Corey Day might have a chance there, the California driver? He's a rookie.
No. As much as I would like to see Corey Day do well, I think he will do good. But you just look at his results when he's come to the Midwest. You know, he had, you know, a good finish with the national tour at US 36, his first race in the Midwest. You know, but ever since, you know, that event, he went to Knoxville and was mired in a B main, and I think he blew up or broke the following night. You know, then he come and run with the 410s with the All Stars and just struggled against those guys, and then, you know, he's went back up to Knoxville and he won the C main, you know, with a 410, but he wasn't really nothing to be. And I think, you know, that team has a lot of work to do to get good at Knoxville, and I don't think they have enough time to get good. And I think, you know, if they come back next year and you know, maybe run them for a month before the event, they will be really good.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong. I just don't see him being in that big of a contender.
I'm going to give you a guy that you might want to keep an eye on. He drives the 09 cars from T, South Dakota, Matt Jewell. Keep an eye on that guy. He gets around this place really good.
Yeah, I mean, if you race Knoxville weekly, you're going to be a contender. You just, that experience is so valuable that it's going to pay off no matter the situation it is. And, you know, you'll get some guys that come in there and that, you know, have, maybe it's their first handful of trips there that'll get up there and race with them and have a shot. But yeah, the experience pays off. Just look at the past winners of the event. They're okay. All Knoxville cars.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break here real quick, and Scotty Cook's going to join us in the next segment. Today's show is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We can't thank them enough. We also want to thank the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, Bob Baker, for allowing us to come up here and do our show today, tomorrow, and Saturday morning, right here from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. The Ascot tribute is off the charts, folks. I was standing down there watching the monitors as they were showing some old video from Ascot back in the day. It's amazing. You need to get up here to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check out this great tribute to a great racetrack, Ascot Park, that was in Gardena, California. This video, they went on and on and on about how Evel Knievel, before he really made his name in jumping cars, called J.C. Agajanian and said, I want to jump 15 cars, at your race that's going to be live on Wide World of Sports. It's a great story that his son, J.C. Agajanian Jr., tells. It's just an unbelievable story. So you got to get up here, check out this great tribute to the great racetrack, Ascot Park. It was in Gardena, California. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Scotty Cook joins us next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and family. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Scotty Cook is joining us now on the show. He's going to be doing a live show every day over at the Dingus at 2 p.m. Central Time. So if you want to tune in and check out his show, Scotty, talk a little bit about what you're going to be doing over at the Dingus.
Good afternoon, old friend.
So me and Scotty, we were just talking off the air. Scotty went to bed a little bit early last night. He went to bed about 3:30. It wasn't 5:30. The sun wasn't even coming up yet, huh?
I had to get a little breakfast, a little water in me today, and a little coffee just to make sure.
You've already had breakfast?
Yeah, I went to our old meeting spot, Manny's. I figured it would be too much of a thrash to get you up there at 10:30 with you getting the show in order. But, yeah, got a little coffee, a little breakfast, blood pressure meds, get the cobwebs cleared, and come down and visit with you for a little bit, and then go on down to Dingus.
Manny's has turned into one of the new spots in town, hasn't it?
Sadly, the iconic place that sits within 100 yards of us, I believe, changed ownership. I haven't heard great reviews yet, and you know as well as I do, it would be just like someone taking over new ownership of the Corner Cafe. You're just not gonna, replicate that. So yeah, Manny's has turned into quite the place, and went and had me some eggs and ham steak, and I'm good to go. I'm ready. I'm glad to be in Knoxville.
You know, Mr. C's now is Mrs. D's.
Yes, Mr. C's is Mrs. D's. And let's hope Mrs. D can maybe pick up the ball and run with it where Mr. C left off. But I've heard that they made more room in there, but they've lost people. But we'll see. Hey, I'm never, you've known me long enough. I don't like bonking balls. So we'll just give them a shot, and I'll give my honest review.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll go over there tomorrow and have some breakfast and see how that works out. I'm definitely going to go to Manny as soon as I get off the air here in a little bit. Scotty, let's talk a little bit about your show that you're going to be doing, and go into a little more details about what you're going to be doing over the Dingus.
Well, kind of funny, Scott, you know full well during our time together that over the years we've pondered doing that over time for quite a few years. And when the idea first popped up, gosh, I feel like it's been about 10 years ago. I asked AJ about 10 years ago if he thought that that would be a doable thing. And well, hell yeah, you know, AJ, he's wide open. Yeah, let's do it. So the green light's always been there. You and I never did pull things together to do that over there. And being that this will be the first 360 Nationals that I won't be a part of any kind of a broadcast team.
Hold on. Does that sting a little bit?
Quite a bit. Yeah. I made an effort to maybe see, you know, obviously doing trackside for the national tour this year, the description is a little different than what you and I were doing, whereas we were doing broadcast, and what I do now is basically track side housework. And contacted Tony Bachhoven a couple of weeks ago, but everything was already taken care of and sealed. And so it kind of sucks not being in the element and being a part of it, because honestly, per the track side work that you and I did over the years, this was the one event over the years that I really, really looked forward and got geared up to be, even though it was audio only per contractual agreements through how things washed out
with the Cushion and Dirt Vision after they came along.
Correct. But you know, growing up here, I could almost honestly tag this place as home track, even though there were a couple nearby that were home tracks.
But Capital, you know, City would have been your real home track, though, wouldn't it?
Capital Speedway. Holt Summit, Missouri. Yep, that would have been it. And but, you know, Grandpa started bringing me up here when I was 3 or 4 years old, wouldn't allow me to come to the Nationals till I was 16.
You got your first taste of coffee right here, didn't you?
Do explain.
Didn't your grandpa give you a teaspoon of coffee back in the day?
No. Here and memories at the State Fair Speedway, Grandma, Grandpa, and I, Uncle Harold, Nancy, rest their souls, we used to load up in Grandpa's old Buick, six of us, my cousin Mike Trent, Grandma, Grandpa, Harold, and Sue, all four of which, Grandma, Grandpa, Aunt, and Uncle, chain smokers, with the window up, all the way up here, and Mike Trent and I in the back seat. But we'd come up here almost weekly on a Saturday night. And
so that's why you smoke?
No, I can't say. Well, I mean, maybe that eventually that it was bound to happen, but I never picked up one of those nasty things until I was about 22 or 3 years old, miraculously.
No kidding. Really? You were that old when you started smoking?
Yeah, for sure. Gosh, we're really talking about this on your show.
Listen, Scotty, this is called Mostly Motorsports, so we don't always talk about motorsports. Right. We can get off topic a little bit.
Right. Well, nothing that I'm proud of, so we'll leave that at that. But coffee, yes, memories of Grandpa and being about 3 to 4 years of age at Knoxville and in the grandstands at the historic Half Mile State Fair Speedway in Sedalia, Grandpa used to spoon feed me coffee sitting on his lap in the grandstands here.
How old were you?
4, 5.
Did it get you a little hyped up?
Probably. That was probably on top of the cotton candy and the candy bars that I'd already had. And then 4 hours of nicotine, Right. So 4 hours up, 4 hours back. But, coming up here for that long, and then Grandpa said he wouldn't allow me to come to the Nationals until I was 16. I never understood why then. I always asked.
It was the atmosphere.
Why can't I go to Knoxville till I'm 16, to the Nationals till I'm 16? Oh, too much stuff goes on up there, boy. Too much. You get in trouble. Well, he knew me as well as my mom and dad did and knew that I was a hellion, and sure enough, another story maybe for another time, but damn near got in trouble my very first trip here.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Can you fill us in a little? Yeah, we got all the time you need, Scott.
It's a legendary story and one that lives still to this day around Central Missouri, and a nickname that was dubbed that very day to a talented driver from Central Missouri, and we still tag him as such. But my very first Knoxville Nationals in 1986, I was Grandpa, and we hung out with the Combs family and the Double X Speedway clan. Randy Combs, Rex Combs, brother Dale Combs. We were all sitting around the campfire. It had rained the first three qualifiers, washed out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Or maybe at this point it had washed out Wednesday, Thursday. It was still raining and going to rain. They'd already called tomorrow. So Thursday night, we're sitting around, Friday morning, we're sitting around a campfire about 3 a.m. Grandpa's getting ready to go to bed. It's way past his bedtime. Sitting there with Rex Combs. I'm 16 years old. Rex pie-faced. Been drinking since 4 days ago. And he said, "It's boring. Let's go up, see what's going on at the track." Well, Graceland Campground is about 2 miles as a crow's fly southwest of here.
Up on 92 Business.
Yeah, right at Scooter's Coffee down there. Come on, Scotty. Well, we didn't have no wheels except for his car owner at the time. I believe it was John Hillman's 74 pickup truck. So Grandpa said, "I'm going to bed, boys, as you all be getting in trouble." All right, Grandpa. So I'm bright eyed. I'm like, first time in Knoxville, I'm going to go up here at 3 a.m, Sure enough, we did not make it up here. We got in that old pickup truck, and Rex, we were going through the old roadways to exit the cemetery, the campground, and we got about halfway out. He's driving down through there, and the roadways were gravel, maybe paved. Well, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he yanks the wheel left. "Oh, I know a guy that's camping down here." And it went left until it hit earth, mud, and we hydroplaned right over the top of two brand new 1986 Honda Goldwings. Both of them lodged up underneath of the Chevrolet pickup truck. Oh my God. I believe they had to get a 4x4 or a wrecker to pull them up off.
What did the bikers say?
Well, there were only the bikers were from north. No, they were from Minnesota, as best I remember. The only miles that they had put on those bicycle, those motorcycles, was they just bought them from the dealership. They rode them straight to Sturgis, and from Sturgis they came here. And they weren't happy, obviously. My old buddy, I did mention they were Honda Goldwings, right? Well, my old buddy spent the night in the county, and pretty much the end of the story is the park ranger asked me if I had been drinking. No, sir, I have not been drinking. He said, you take these keys to this truck, and you drive it back to where you came from, and I better not see you the rest of the night. And I did do that. Henceforward, from
how old were you at the time?
16. Just had gotten my driver's license. Had a head full of hair, half a mullet.
Red hair.
Auburn, maybe ish. And from that day forward, my old buddy Rex Combs was dubbed the Goldwing. Anytime he was announced in a heat race feature lineup, it's the Goldwing Rex Combs. So, yeah, that was my first experience at the Knoxville Nationals in 1986. I haven't missed one since.
Yeah. Well, I've only been coming up here since 98, but that's a good long stint, I guess. Nice. Yeah. So, Scotty, let's talk a little bit about Lakeside on Tuesday night. You were there. You saw it. It looked like Matt had that thing won, man. I mean, he was out by a long ways. And lo and behold, Blake Hahn running down on the last lap. What did you think about that race?
Well, I think what my eye saw and what Matt confirmed in the post-race interview and a couple of words after the post-race interview, post-race, Matt just sat down on the wheel. Matt felt in his sixth sense that he had a monster lead, which he did have a monster lead at one point to the midway point, halfway point, red flag, I think. Who was it? Who was it brought that red flag out? Kyler Johnson.
Austin would know. Austin, can you tell me in the ear, my ear?
Kyler Johnson.
Kyler Johnson.
Kyler Johnson.
Kyler Johnson lap 11, 12. He was stretched out and gone. And he even got a really good restart and was stretched out, checked out. Matt just, Papa Bill Covington just went to St. Louis last weekend and met Charlie Fisher, or one of Charlie Fisher's associates. Actually, it was Charlie Fisher's wife, I do believe. And they had to hire, when they rendezvoused to pick up the fresh Charlie Fisher engine, they had to hire a bum to help transport it from one pickup bed to the other. Yeah, so that was a pretty cool story in and of itself. But there's no doubt about it. Wayne Johnson and so many others can attest that Charlie Fisher puts out an absolute monster of a bullet. And I'm going to tell you what, that dog was hunting, and you saw with your eyes the boy was checked out. But it's kind of ironic that it happened, and I know he's still kicking himself in the ass, because honestly, once he caught the back end of lap traffic and they caught some green laps, he caught the back end of traffic, and he just started tiptoeing through the tulips, and he felt that he had a big lead, but his lead wasn't big enough. And all the while, Blake, from the drop of the green flag, from that ensuing red flag, he found a line which was very, very, very good rotation all the way through three and four on the bottom. And then he found a nice little diamond line from one to two. And
stretched out that straightaway a long ways.
Right. And obviously that place being a great big fast half mile like Knoxville, like Volusia, it's an all momentum track. And, you know, once you break your momentum and if you crack the throttle and somebody behind you is coming, you're a sitting duck. Well, that's what happened to Matt pretty much. He just started tiptoeing through the tulips, a fresh bullet. Let's not stretch it too bad. We've got this one in the bank. And white flag lap, he missed. Blake had already cut it down to under a second and a half, I believe. And Matt missed the bottom coming off of two, and that just killed his momentum. And he didn't protect the bottom of three going in, and then it was all she wrote by then. Blake had a really good run through off of one and down off the bottom of two, and he tucked right up underneath and took the line away in three, and that was all she wrote. I'm a glass half full guy. At least Matt Covington knows he's got a very sharp bullet beneath the hood. But I mentioned ironic a while ago. It was ironic because I rode back from, I don't remember, maybe a few weeks ago. I don't know. It might have been a Little Rock or somewhere. Maybe not Little Rock. It doesn't matter. Matt and I rode back to Tulsa with Matt and Matthew Howard, his crew guy. And we had that very conversation of being from green to checkered, sitting up on the wheel and not letting in or not giving up or not tiptoeing.
Falling asleep at the wheel, maybe a little bit.
I mean, I don't want to say it like that, but you know, Matt and I had just had that conversation. And so, I know that he feels bad about it. Like I said, at least he knows that he's got a good bullet. Congratulations to Blake Hahn, who unbelievably coming into 2022, the defending champion, had not won a race thus far this year. And, but again, flip side of that, glass half full, took the point lead over in Waukini, Kansas, when Wayne Johnson had his tough crash, which put him out of commission for a race. He had to park it in Osborne, which jacked him up on the points.
How much do you think that the back situation with Wayne is holding him back a little bit right now?
Well, I know it's holding him back a ton, because I've briefed him on it every time I've seen him ever race. So how you feeling? You know, right now Wayne has 14 bulging discs in his back. And I'll tell you what, honestly, I think as frightening as that crash was that night, I think he's lucky that that's all it was. Honestly, that night, I thought that he had broken his back. He got out of the car and he was on his feet and he was dingy as hell for even in 30 minutes to an hour after the crash. But you know, when they were loading a race car, I went to take a peek, and I was just standing there right over his shoulder, and he was just standing there, and he had already told me that he tried to sit down and he couldn't, which that's not a good sign, you know. And I mean, I was standing just me to you right over behind his shoulder, and all of a sudden he about dropped to his knees just standing there. And I thought to myself, man, that ain't good. And he said, I'll be damned, 4th of July weekend, I'm not going to the emergency room in Waukini, Kansas. And I'm probably not going to do it in Wichita. So he waited till he got home. X-rays come back negative, and then he went back to the doctor and found out that he had 14 bulging discs. He says that he is okay as long as he doesn't get on a cowboy up track that throws him around the seat. That's why he wasn't able to that's why he had to park it in Osborne, obviously, cowboy up.
Well, and he had that issue with the G-forces at US 36 as well, right? Mm-hmm. He went in there and he felt that – he said as soon as he pulled down his straps, he knew that he was in trouble. And then when he went out on the racetrack and made a couple laps with all the Gs that it was causing there, it caused him a problem there at US 36.
Yeah, and it's going to continue to cause a problem. Where was it? Wichita? Where was his last podium? He said as much. He's feeling, I don't know if he's progressively getting better, but he's still feeling persistent pain. I believe Wichita was the last place. Yeah. Didn't he win Wichita? I'm guilty of forgetting every race.
What was the last? Austin is good at this stuff. Was the last race that Wayne Johnson won? Do you know?
Let me look real quick. He won Little Rock.
He won at Little Rock.
At any rate, he Victory Lane, as much that he was alluding to the fact that it feels good to win, but boy, my back hurts. And so he's still feeling pain, and easy for many to forget, but that man is fortunate to have a foot after an awful accident in the Pacific Northwest where you
live. You know, it's so funny that you mentioned that. You know, he damn near lost the bottom half of his leg up there at Grays Harbor when we were up there. And then if you remember right, Scotty, He got hit in the face with a rock down at West Memphis one time, and it broke his helmet, broke his nose, if you remember right. So he's had some bad luck over the years with that race car.
Old racers never die, and you're not going to keep them out of the seat. I mean, you see it time and time again, and yeah, he's just an old outlaw, tougher than a boot. And so back to the point of what we were speaking of, after his crash, Blake was nearby in the points, and he was able to take over the points lead. And then Wayne jumped back into the points lead with that win at Little Rock. Blake took it back with the win at Lakeside. So we got a heated points battle right now. You know, for years, you and I, we always like talking that stuff with them guys. And
they don't want to hear it.
They're all, oh, we don't.
Johnny was the worst at it.
Johnny and Wayne, too. Johnny and Wayne. Yeah. We ain't worried about points.
Scotty, before we wrap up here, let's go over again. You're going to be doing your show. I want you to tell everybody where they can find it. It starts at 2 p.m. Central Time. Those aren't strong enough for you. I just noticed that. Let's give us a little bit of an idea where people can find the show, who's going to be on the show, and just give us a little bit of an update there.
Well, per usual me. First of all, I want to send out a very special thanks to Caleb with Race on Texas, Brian Holbert, Terry Maddox for offering me offering to pay me for an extra avenue since I wasn't going to be able to actually do my typical work, and David Goodson with Impact Signs, Awnings and Wraps, and as well as AJ Moddett. All of this stuff came together within about a 48-hour time span. I had been kind of – Brian and I had been talking about it and kicking it around a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, when I thought maybe that I might get nixed out of being able to work. So with all of those people mentioned and a few phone calls, we're able to pull things together. And speaking of fly by the seat of your pants and 11th hour, I believe Caleb's still in transit here. He'll be here in about – 15-20 minutes, I do believe, and we're going to meet up about an eighth of a mile from here, just transition from turn two to turn one across the street, and get things set up and fly by the seat of our britches. We know for sure that today we're going to kick it off with Blackjack Brian Brown, and we'll follow him up with Tim Crawley. I would think that that would be a nice sandwich. It's not that either one of those boys are short on stories or short on words, and both of them wily old veterans, especially Brian Brown here. So I thought that might be appropriate. And Brian Holbert's going to kick off each day for the first few minutes before we get the guests on. Beyond that, I know that Saturday I've got Doug Clark locked in to spend a few minutes with us. And beyond there, not firm on everything. What I do know is that I'm already thinking possibly with all of the people that we really would like to get on, that we might go a little extra on Saturday to allow a little bit extra time for a couple of few ASCS guys that we don't typically get to talk to. I think, that it would be interesting to, expose some people that are out there right now that don't get enough limelight, with the likes of Dylan Posture out of Stillwater, Oklahoma, with the most amazing wife and set of kids you've ever seen. They go to staging, to heat race staging, doesn't matter. All the whole family on a four-wheeler pushing dad. It's a beautiful thing. As well as Ryan Bickett from South Dakota, his whole family. It'd be really cool to try to get some of those people on. So other than that, we're going to fly by the seat of our ass and just have fun with it.
And where can they find it at, Scotty?
They're going to stream it live on Race on Texas Facebook page and Lucas Oil American Sprint Car Series. It'll be on that page as well. I think they might stream it on the Dingus Lounge page as well. So we're going to just kind of have the old push truck push us off and fly by the seat of our britches and see what comes of it.
Yeah. Well, if you need anybody to fill, just give me a ring. Scotty, have you checked out this new hypersonic gray 2022 IMSA GT LM championship edition Corvette that's down here in the showroom. Have you seen that car?
I did. I got to see that on the way in. I didn't have time to stop and get a real good look at it, but the thought occurred to me. You know what? When I saw that, the first thing that popped into my mind is you and I and our bald coconuts rolling down the A1A in Ormond Beach or Daytona Beach. You know, don't you think we'd...
Scotty, just so you know, Scotty and me one time, we were in Grays Harbor, and we chose to drive down Pacific Coast Highway 101, and we started at the top, and we drove all the way down that thing, didn't we, Scotty?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Took it all the way from up around Wine Napa Valley, all the way into L.A., I believe. Stopped at Ventura. Ventura, the most unique dirt track setting of any that I've ever seen, honestly.
You know what was really cool is when we went up into Hollywood Hills and we got up close to the sign. That was cool.
We did. And little did we know at the time, we were just on the other side of the sign from our old buddy Jeff Christensen, who lived behind the sign down in the valley in North Hollywood. So, yeah, we had fun, man. That seems like so long ago, my goodness. But I wasn't talking about West Coast. I was talking about A1A in Daytona Beach.
Oh, A1A. Well, we've cruised up and down that a few times.
Stopped at the old dip, or what's it called?
Ocean Deck.
Yeah, we had fun at the Ocean Deck.
Maybe a little too much fun. All right, so anyway, folks, if you want to try to win this Hypersonic Gray 2022 IMSA GTLM Championship Edition Corvette, it has 495 horsepower. It's a 6.2-liter V8 engine. This is a real race car, folks. They only made one. This is one of 1,000 cars that were made like this. They didn't make a lot of them like this. This is a great, great deal. And you know what's really cool is the amount of tickets that you can buy. You can buy 65 tickets for $100. You can buy 150 tickets for $200. You can buy 350 tickets for $300. You can buy 500 tickets for $500. And if you're a really big spender, you can buy 1,200 tickets for $1,000, or you can buy 2,600 tickets for $2,000. I'm not sure I'm going to get up to that level.
How
I think
about 5,000 tickets for $5,000. Think they go there,
Scotty? I think you're in the $25 for 10 tickets.
Well, I might even see if I could get one for, yeah. You know, I got that account's not long at all.
Right. Anyway, and don't forget, if you're going to come up to the Knoxville Nationals, they've also got the 2022 Triple X chassis sprint car that's out in front of the Hall of Fame right now. Melissa's out there. That is the car. Maybe I can't show it right there. Let's just show it right there. There it is.
There we go.
A little bit of a glare.
Well, you gotta.
That's not good television right there.
That's better than your eyes, mud, though.
Well, it could be. All right. So anyway, they've got the 2022 Triple X chassis, a complete 410 race car that they're going to raffle off as well. And you need to be 18 to win this car. You can buy a ticket for $20 each, or you can buy six for $100. And that is a complete 410 sprint car, Triple X chassis, Moles motor in it. It is, and they're going to give you $25,000 on top of it. That includes the Corvette and the sprint car, folks. So it's going to be a real pleasure for somebody to win that sprint car or to win that Corvette.
And how cool is it to have the luxury of, if you were to win the Corvette, to be able to take the cash and pay the monstrous taxes with it?
That's what it's
all. I think that's the idea, right?
That is the idea. All right, Scotty, get your glasses on and give me a who do you think might win?
Well, the really cool thing about, my gosh, how do you...
Is it Geo? Is it Reitzel?
So far as I know, I've only been able to keep up with Knoxville social media-wise.
Matt Jewell's always good up here, too.
He's always good up here. Gosh, I wish that was bigger, bud.
There's Matt Covington down at the bottom.
Yeah.
Your glasses are not strong enough.
Well, I'd pick bigger font, but I do know the last couple of years, it's been the story of youngsters and people that are coming along really, really well. I like Chase Randall. I don't think he's going to win it, but just people to watch for tonight. I like Chase Randall. Aaron Reitzel has not had good luck in the 360 division this year. He's but I do think that he won maybe a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember if it was in 360 or 410, but I think the 410 deal has been going good up here, but the 360 deal hasn't been going so good. Knoxville's Joe Beaver, always, always on a dime here. Austin McCarl, he's a 410, he's a 410 wheel man, but
how about Anthony Macri?
Well, again, just like Austin McCarl. And you mentioned, who did you mention a while ago before we went to Parker Price? You mentioned those guys. Yeah. Those guys are 410 guys, and you know, you're just not automatically good from a 410 to a 360. So you can't just count those chickens. But ones to watch, Justin Henderson, you want to watch him. Austin McCarl, I mentioned Chase Randall. You mentioned Reitzel. We'll see how that goes. Really, honestly, the standout from tonight and the probably the favorite to at least hit the podium, if not win, is the defending champion, Giovanni Selzy. Scott Boguski goes really good here, and he goes on good tracks. You'll want to watch him. Obviously, Ayrton Jennetin, again, same story. And Brian Brown can attest to as much. You can go like hell in a 410, which he has been, and then maybe try to hop in a 360 and maybe not feel the best or perform as best as you want to. But with that being said, you'll want to watch Versailles, Missouri's Ayrton Jennetin. He's got a million laps around this place. He's very young. He's very talented. He's got way more wheel time at this point in his career in a 410 within the last 2 years than he did in the first couple of years, year and a half driving a 360. Corey Day, very young, very talented, out of the state of California. You want to keep your eye peeled on him. Obviously, the five-time champion. Is it four or five? Five-time champion. He'd hate if I asked that, wouldn't he? Sunnyvale Sam Hayfortiep Jr., been trying to get him to shave his head for 15 years.
He's letting it go.
He's still got work to do on it. I've been trying to talk to him. We're going to get it worked out. Hey, man. He's always sexy. It makes no matter. Sam's good people. We love him. Brand new baby. But you want to watch Sam tonight. I think those are Ryan Giles. He goes good here. Garrett Williamson out of my hometown, Boone County, Columbia, Missouri. There is a young man. He should be a poster child of so many people. Again, Brian Brown could attest to this as well. Who come to this racetrack and things just seem to happen naturally for you. Garrett Williamson goes like hell at the Knoxville Raceway. Poor proof in the pudding, didn't do too well through his heat. Started in the back of the A-Main the other night from 20th freight train to, I think, 7th or 8th. He goes very, very well tonight. Garrett, unfortunately, throughout the first year or two of his career, has been a very young, talented driver who somewhere or the other, Lady Luck always falls in guys' laps and they have trouble going nine innings or executing or getting to the checkers. Once that boy figures out a little execution and he can get a little mo in his pocket.
A little more experience.
A little more seat time. Again, he goes like hell here at Knoxville. So I say, probably keep your eye on Garrett Williamson tonight as well. Those are a few names and a few drivers. And of all those names mentioned, I'm sure that all those names mentioned, three of them will be standing on the podium tonight.
Yeah. All right.
Okay,
so
before we go, I don't want to take too much of your time, but I do want to acknowledge first, I appreciate you having me come up and come on this morning, but some wonderful, 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 like family folks that I met 12, 13 years ago, from right here in Knoxville, Iowa. again, it become family. They opened up their home to me, and mi casa su casa, and my very, very, very dear friend Dick Smith from right here in Knoxville lost his son, Jason, a couple of weeks to a motorcycle accident in Des Moines. And Jason was a longtime crew member for Davey Heskin. And Davey and Jason were very, very, very close friends. Jason made a ton of friends right here in this community. And there are a lot of people reeling upon his loss, above and beyond all, his father and his stepmother, Julie. And I just want to publicly extend my deepest condolences and all of my love to that family. And I appreciate everything that they've ever done for me as so far as open up their home. And Jason will forever be missed. We love him.
Davey will be a little more driven this week for sure.
Well, I know that when unfortunately Dick woke up when I got back to the house this morning, the first time I'd seen him, we got to embrace and shed a tear at about 3 a.m. this morning. And once we got to talking about everything, he said that he was at the track last weekend, and they did it. He wanted to thank the track for doing a beautiful memorial and a eulogy. And he said he went and visited Davey after the race. And he said Davey was very, very, very emotional. And as Dick told me last night, the boy drove his absolute heart out, and he drove his ass off the other night. He freight trained to a solid finish on a night that weekly wise here at Knoxville is the toughest all season on the calendar outside of the Nationals to compete in, being the week that everyone prior wants to come and shake their stuff down. So Davey Heskin is racing with a very, very heavy heart. And I just love Dick Smith, and I loved Jason Smith, and we're going to miss him. So I wanted to mention that.
All right, Scotty. Well, you better get out of here. It's 10 after 2. You better get going.
No, it's not 10 after 2.
It's 10 after 1.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we started 2.
Grab your chair and pull it over there for me. All right, there you have it. Scotty Cook joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's always entertaining when we have Scotty on, man. We spent a lot of great times running up and down the road, had a lot of good times together over the years. And it's been a he just kissed me on my forehead. I can't believe that. And that's the first time he's ever kissed me on my forehead. All right, thanks, Scotty. Appreciate you, buddy. All right, that's it for today on Mostly Motorsports. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor, saying we'll see you tomorrow right here from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Until then, we'll see you later.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum and our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.